For prayers this morning. Yes. Okay. Yes. Pardon me? Chuck. Okay. Kneel with me, please. Lord God, our Father, we praise you and we thank you for who you are. You are the Almighty Creator. But Lord, above all, you are a God of so much love and grace. You forgive us even before we ask you. And yet, Lord, when we ask for forgiveness, you give your all. You send the Spirit to touch our hearts, to work upon our lives and to change us. And Father, we, this morning especially, praise you because you are the Creator and the Recreator. This morning, dear Lord, we think about Chuck. We ask for your special blessing upon him. Lord, we know that you will bless him, strengthen him, give him courage. We pray, too, dear Father, for our children, our grandchildren. They're special to us. There are bloodlines. But more importantly, dear Father, we know that you gave your life through your Son that they may be saved. We ask, dear Father, especially you would be with our school children, for they are very special in your hearts. Bless them, guide them, draw them ever close to you. And above all, too, dear Father, be with their parents, their grandparents, their brothers and sisters as they interrelate with one another, and that especially they would show the love of Jesus. And above all, dear Father, may this love of Jesus in our own lives be shared with others as well. May they see us as someone special, not because of they and us ourselves, because of you in our lives. This morning, dear Father, we pray for those who are discouraged, who are ill. And we know, dear Lord, that you, the great physician, will comfort, would heal, and if it is within your will, you will care for them and let them recover fully. We pray especially too, dear Father, that you would be with Pastor as he brings us the word of life and touch his heart, touch his lips. But above all, dear Father, may our minds be tuned in through the Spirit to the message that he brings us. We praise you now, dear Father, that you have heard our prayers, and we give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
What a Thanksgiving, huh? Wow.
Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in the garden of dew-laden. Where no light could be found, Jesus knelt on the ground. There he prayed neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone. On his knees, not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt 'neath the old olive trees. All the sin of the world on the Savior was hurled as he knelt in the garden alone. Hear his soul burden plea, let this cup pass from me, even so, not my will, thine be done. 'Neath the old olive trees, 'neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt 'neath the old olive trees. May my song ever be of the love proffered me by my Lord all alone on his knees. Praise his wonderful name, he who bore all my blame as he knelt 'neath the old olive trees. 'Neath the old olive trees, 'neath the old olive trees, with the Savior alone on his knees. My will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt 'neath the old olive trees.
Scripture reading is found in Luke 17, verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. That was like the first time in a long time when I say Happy Sabbath. You guys got it right the first time. Amen. I guess everybody's happy because their stomachs were full and still full from Thanksgiving. Amen. Good times with family, so everybody's happy. All right. I also had a blessing this Thanksgiving and really enjoyed myself with my family. And we had Lola and John with us too to join us. And it's just sitting around the table. It's something about sitting around the table and just talking, right? Your heart's out, laughing and getting to know one another. And it's definitely a blessing. So I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for so many things, especially, you know, being able to serve as a pastor, this church, the Spanish church, and also Chelan. You know, as we observe this holiday, Thanksgiving, we really, I think as Christians, we really want to thank not only our friends and family, right? Because that's important, but thank God, right? We thank God because he gave us the opportunity to survive this year, this COVID year, and all the things that's happening. There were sad times too, as I was looking at some of my friends' Facebook pages, and I was able to see, I had a I'm not around a lot of my friends that are in Connecticut, but I had some friends that lost their mom. I had one that lost a mom, another one that lost their dad. And it was just like, wow, Lord, I still have my mom and I still have my dad, even though I don't have this great relationship with them like I want to. But I still have them, and I still have the opportunity to say thank you. And thank you for bringing me into this world, because they could have chosen not to have me in this world. And I'm just very grateful for that. So with that being said, I want to give you the opportunity today. To the person on your left or your right, and I want you to have this thought, okay? And I want you to have the thought of, if I was to tell this person next to me one thing that I am thankful for about them and what they've done in my life, etc., what would it be? What would be that one thing that sticks out? I know it's hard because the person probably next to you has done a lot for you, right? But just think of one thing that person has thought or has done for you, or has, you know, pretty much, I don't know, just change your life, something. And as you think about that, I'm going to give you like maybe 2 or 3 seconds. As you think about it, whatever sticks out, I want to give the opportunity for the congregation for you to express that one thing, okay? I know that we can express many things and have a list, but if you can just do one thing for me, because we're a lot today, one thing that you may want to, if you want to publicly express, this is your moment, this is your shot, guys, especially guys, you want to earn points for the weekend. One thing, guys, one thing that you would like to thank that significant other, or it could be a friend, it could be your mother, it could be your husband, wife, etc., it could be your mom, your dad, just that one thing. Anybody would like to share that one thing that they want to thank publicly? So this is your time. I wish I could do this with my mom. But I'll go start first. One thing I love about Jomar is that he has a good heart. He always shows me Jesus in that aspect. He has a good heart. He surprises me a lot of times, where I think that he will act one way and he actually acts like unexpected, like Jesus. And so I really thank him for that. Well, like Jesus, because that's who we emulate. Anybody else? He's so great for his wife. Hold on. Look at this. I'll even give you a mic.
And my family. My wife. I couldn't survive without her. I'm very grateful for her today.
Amen. He said he's grateful for his family, his wife, especially because he feels that he couldn't survive without her. And so he's grateful for her. Amen. Mark?
Just want to thank Edie for bringing us our kids.
Amen. Anybody else?
I'm thankful for music in the house.
Amen.
Lots of music in the house.
My first thought was, God will never fail you, because people will always fail you, because I failed to remember that our family had music today until this morning. So God will never fail us. I'm super thankful for that.
Amen.
Even though they're not here today, I'm thankful for my cousins, because I never had siblings and they were like siblings to me. So.
I'm thankful for my sisters, because they bring light and joy and funniness and happiness into my world, and oftentimes they get me pushed in the right direction.
Amen. She's like, crack it up. Amen. Amen for siblings, right?
One thing I really appreciate about Rose is that she has medically been right on top of things to keep me alive from a deadly health problem.
Amen. Good job, Rose. Okay.
I'm thankful for my wife that she puts up with all the crazy things I do.
Like riding a bike. Motorcycle.
Well, Elsie's on my left, and I wanted to say that Elsie has such a big heart and sharing all her garden produce and making sure that our pantries are stuffed full before winter.
Yeah, I just wanted to praise God for Holly and her family and the role they played in raising a strong wife for my son.
Bonnie wants me to say that she's thankful for my faithfulness. And I would say that I thank Bonnie for the chance to serve her.
Amen. Okay. Did I get everybody? Anybody else?
Just want to say thank you to Ariel for the amount of work is unimaginable for all you've done for our family to be out here. And I know this is entirely not your dream in your life for yourself, but you've managed to stick with our desire to have country living and instead of a condo in Bellevue. So really thankful for his hard work.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for Summer for always kind of kicking me back on the straight and narrow path. It's hard sometimes, so it's really good to have that encouragement and strong Christian wife.
Amen. If you can pass it back to Roger.
I'm thankful for my daughter, Christina, for always making me feel like she wants me as her father and how much that we've grown over the last few years.
Amen.
I second that. He gives me reminders to read your Sabbath school lesson, and he just makes sure Jesus is in my life, even if, you know, for a while there I turned away. He's making sure I'm here. So, amen. And in my kids' life, too.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
I have a little difficulty speaking publicly. I'm kind of a quiet person, but I'm pretty happy to have my son here. And I just wanted to say I'm really thankful for him and the joy that he brings to my life and the adventure. And I'm thankful for his walk with God because he encourages me to be stronger.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my family because they bring me a lot of joy in my life.
Amen.
I'm thankful that Gary's love for God is so strong, which a lot of times is a big encouragement for me, which I need a lot of.
Amen. God's going to make me cry. All right, anybody else?
I'm just thankful for all my brothers and sisters. I come from a family of 17, so I'm very blessed. And then I'm blessed with wonderful son-in-laws, wonderful grandchildren. I am truly blessed.
Amen. Amen. We are truly blessed, my friends. last night, I was always in bed. I couldn't fall asleep. I've been having just constantly thinking things over. Excuse me. And you think, and you try to, you know, bring a message of hope to our the church always, you know, and I was just thinking about this message and how it really has touched me, the one that I'm going to kind of show you today. But I was saying, Lord, you know, I really like to hear what is the congregation thankful for, right? And hear your hearts speak. Sometimes we need that. We need to hear it out loud. I was a kid that growing up, we didn't thank each other in our homes. You know, we were so busy with trying to survive. And I was busy trying to survive in different ways. And I think we all, you know, probably went through something like that. That sometimes we just forget to say thank you. You know, thank you. Sometimes, you know, I'm like, thank you, babe, for just cooking this wonderful dinner. Or thank you for, you know, just loving me unconditionally sometimes when I'm a pain in the neck. And so I just thought that maybe today we can express that gratitude, that thanks, because there's a ton of reasons why we could give thanks, right? Has anybody experienced ever a situation in which you did something for someone, and you're like, you know, you feel good about it because the person was able to overcome, or you were able to help the person push forward in life? We all felt pretty good about that, right? We felt like, wow, you know, we did something. And so the least that this is just humanly speaking, the least that we expect is a what, usually? A thank you, right? That's just how our human heart is. And so it was funny because yesterday I was watching some memes and things like that. And I said, how about animals, right? Do animals forget to say thank you, you know? Do they say thank you? I have a dog. His name is Ike. You guys seen him, right? And Ike is like all over the place. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. Ike is all over the place. And you know, he has these funny expressions, and I'm like, what do you want, buddy? Do you want to, it's like Lassie, I mean, the kid that talks to Lassie, what do you want, buddy? Do you want to go outside? Is there trouble? You know, or something like that, right? And you know what I'm talking about. And so I talk to him, and then sometimes it's funny because I feel like sometimes he just want to say thank you. And he'll put his paw on my shoulder, or he'll lean his head on my chest. And like, oh, okay, buddy, you just want to be, you know, just want to say thank you, want to be pet. So I want to illustrate you guys an animal that didn't get to do that, that didn't do that at all. He, you can probably say that he was ungrateful. Oh. And so I want to thank Jomar because he put this video together. All right, let's see if we get some volume here.
Давай, ты сможешь, ты же нас любишь, животных. Абуш, отойди.
Нет, сам.
Он боится и так нас, отойди.
Нет, пойдя.
Абуш, отойди.
Нет.
Такой он маленький.
Потяни сейчас, сам. Вверх потяни. Ой, умничка, Риад, умничка. Ногу не сломай только ему. Умничка, умничка. За обе ноги. Молодец, Риад, умничка. Умничка. Все, оператор.
But not all animals are what? Ungrateful.
Hey, loco. ¿Qué te cuenta?
family. Thanks for the honey. High five.
Give him some love. There you go. Aww.
Didi! Bom dia, Didi! É bem ali. Quando ele me viu lá no portão, ele já veio com aquela alegria. A Patagônia. Eu tinha vontade de, se eu pudesse, eu ia visitar lá esse lugar dos pinguins lá. Eu queria ver se ele ficava no meio dos pinguins lá e eu chegasse e chamasse Didi! Ele vinha direto, se ele escutar a minha fala, ele vinha.
All right. So even the animals, right, also love to give thanks. There's some that maybe not so grateful, but most of them are, especially when they are loved on and there's a reason to say thanks. You know, I brought this up because in all of giving thanks, and especially now that we're close to ending the year, there's something that also we can also relate to in the Bible. And there's a story in the Bible that really stuck out to me. It's one that I thought at first didn't just was sitting there by itself, but there's actually a lesson in which I would like for us to learn today. It's a very important lesson, kind of like how the animals learned their lesson. and were able to teach us a lesson. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles, if you can, to the book of Luke. Luke, there in chapter 17 of Luke, there's this particular story that we're going to read. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to go and start with verse 11. Verse 11. And it reads as follows. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." Now Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And so this particular story, we can dissect it a little bit, but to understand the context of it, of how this all correlates, I just love how the Bible just, it gives us your story, but there's a lot of pieces to it. We have to also know what was going on prior to this. And so I'm going to just kind of go over it a little bit here for time's sake. In verse 17, which is pretty much where the context of the story starts, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And as he's speaking to the disciples, he's wanting for them to make sure of how they're supposed to live life, or how they're supposed to really be an example to others. The first example he gives is that we need to be careful in how we walk and talk and our actions are, because little children are watching us. And woe to us if we give a bad example to a child. Because he says we might as well just tie ourselves up with a rope and a rock and throw ourselves to the bottom of the ocean. It's that severe, because a child looks at everything that you as a parent do. You know, growing up, I was able to witness families in which I remember the kids in the household all cursed. They all cursed, said bad words all the time. They were fearful. They weren't afraid of anything. And so I was like, man, why are they all like this? And they were a little, I would say, cuckoo in the head, right? Well, then when I stayed with them, I was able to see that their parents cursed at them all the time. You know, while they were scolding them, they watched really bad movies all the time. They watched the scariest movies. I mean, these kids were fearless of anything. They just were not afraid of anything. And so you can say that parents have a big influence on what? On children. But you know what? As a church, we're a family as well. And so any of our actions here also falls on us with our children and what we portray to them. So that's very important as Christians, that wherever we go, wherever we stand, whoever we speak to, we keep in mind that whatever our actions, whatever we portray, that person is going to emulate. That person has the ability to emulate, to see and say, okay, well, if he can be like that, then I can be like that, okay? And although that may not be a fair assessment, you may think, but that's how important it is to God. That's how important it was to Jesus to represent who he is, okay, wherever we go. And so he was portraying that to them. The second part had to do a little bit about the way that we treat one another and how we're supposed to forgive. That's, you can find it in verse 3. After he speaks about the little children's situation. And so he says, if somebody does something wrong to you,
in a day for seven times in a row, they come and they keep messing up, they keep doing the wrong thing, then we're supposed to what? If they repent, we're supposed to what? Forgive them, right? And the funny part here is that the disciples, I love the part in verse 5, after Jesus has said this, he says, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And it sounds, well, I did exactly what you did, Edgar. I kind of laughed because I could just imagine saying, Jesus is either crazy or we need some serious faith here, because between them, amongst themselves, they couldn't even forgive one another, right? They were always bickering and seeing who goes first and who does this and who does that. So imagine, that's the disciples. Imagine the church family, right? How difficult sometimes it is for us to forgive one another, even when we come in repentance, when we're in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God. And so when we're out there in the world now, shouldn't we not do the same for others? At work, at Walmart, the person that cuts us in line or does whatever, you know, like, though, just to forgive, you know, to forgive. And so, again, this has to do a little bit about of this last story of what had happened, the miracle that had happened. But just keep that in mind. The apostle said, increase our faith, okay? Now, the last, right before the story of the lepers, the 10 men with leprosy, we have another scenario which he speaks about having faith as much, because they said, we increase our faith. Well, he says, if you had faith as small as a what? As a mustard seed, right? As a mustard. And we all know that a mustard seed is a very small seed, meaning that it doesn't require so much, this special addition of faith. It's just try, just believe, just have this a little gist of hope, of faith, because that is going to take you a far, far away. That's going to go a long way. And he gives the example of that, of if he gives the example of a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea. Now, that's something impossible, right? Now, he's not asking you to do something impossible. It's not that Jesus wants you to start moving the mountains around here, right? He's not asking for impossible. What he's giving you is that just wants, that desire to go ahead and take the leap of faith. He wants so badly for us to just trust him, to just trust him, have that faith and trust him. And sometimes, you know, that removes a lot of, when we don't trust him, it removes so many aspects of our faith. Our faith is shaken. And so he is exposing, he's saying that, right? He's telling us to have that faith. The other part of this is what's called our duty. And so he gives this scenario, and I want to actually go a little bit into this. This is verse 7. He says, suppose one of you have a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in the field, come along now and sit down and eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were ever told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. So he gives this example. He gives this example of a servant, right? And it's not that he's giving the servant like he's worthless, right? This is a valuable servant to him. Actually, and Jesus saying that this man only had one servant, okay? Jesus is implying two things. Number one, that this was a farmer that really didn't have a lot of money, okay? He wasn't a rich farmer or anything like that. But the servant understood the farmer, okay, that was above him, all right? The servant understood. That's why he asked the question. At first, he challenges them to think. Would a farmer, or in this case, would the master, right, tell this servant to come and eat with me, to come in and just relax and let's just eat together? No, because he's a servant. He is to serve. He was placed here to serve. And so then he asked the question, isn't it so that he would come and prepare my meal, and then he would eat afterwards, because the servant knows his place. And so in the same way, as I was reading this, a lot of times what happens is, a lot of times we tend to forget who that we are all servants of God. We forget who we are. We are all servants of God. We all bleed the same. It doesn't matter whose income is higher, who has more school. At the end of the day, we all bleed the same color, right? We all suffer. We all have a broken heart. We all have something in our lives in which we're all equal in a certain an aspect. We're all equal. That is sometimes hard to swallow, depending on our characters, right? That is sometimes hard to swallow. But at the end of the day, we're all equal. No one's better than no one in the kingdom of God. Okay, in the kingdom of God, no one's better than anybody else. But at the same time, when it comes to our relationship with God, we're not equal. God is God. Jesus is Jesus. He is our master. And so we cannot put ourselves in that category. Although we call him friend, although we call him brother, okay, that is out of the love, out of the compassion that God has for us. But at the end of the day, he is God. Right? At the end of the day, God will reign. God is sovereign. And there's nothing good in us at the end of the day. So this is what Jesus was trying to illustrate to them, for them to understand and know where they are, who they are, and what they need to do. And so I love how Jesus then comes and allows this to play in their lives. It's like he teaches and then they experience, right? And so that's why this story comes into play. Luke, brilliant mind, right? He comes in and he puts a story in here where now they're going to Jerusalem. These 10 lepers come out of nowhere and they're screaming, "Mercy!" Some versions say, "Mercy, have mercy on us, Lord, Master." He uses the word master. It's a rare usage of master. Usually they call him rabbi. But in this case, he was trying to make a point because he's connecting everything else that was in the context, everything else, he's connecting it to who is the master. Jesus is the master, right? And so these individuals are calling, "Mercy, have mercy on me, have mercy on me." How many of times have we called out mercy, right? Have mercy on me. You know, being a leper was one of those horrendous things in which the minute that you got it, you were exiled from your town. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even just lepers, any rash. You could have any rash, okay? Anything going on weird with your body, you were exiled. You were just put aside like, hey, you don't, we can't even speak to y'all, okay? No one wanted to, they were just basically put alone on an island almost, not cared for. And so these men, understanding their situation in the distance, okay, knowing that Jesus is master, and having that faith and say, please, saying mercy. Another reason why they're yelling out mercy, or in this case, have pity on us, is because a lot of times these individuals were outcasts, and they also, not only just in the physical sense, but also in the spiritual sense, something was wrong with them that happened to them. It wasn't just because. And so they were outcasts, not only in the physical, but in the spiritual aspect as a person, as a human being. It was just like they were worthless because they have not yet confessed their sins. And that is why that's why it's happening to them. And that's why they're going through this tough situation. How many times have we done that to people? How many times have we said, "Oh, you see, if you keep, this is what happens to you when you do, something's going on over there. Something, they're doing something wrong over there. That's why they're going through what they're going through. See, they were talking too much, and that's why they're going." Oh, see, and we love to do that. Oh, not this church. No, not this church. No, not here in Brewster. No. But Jesus heard their cry for mercy, their repentance, and he said, "Forgive seven times." Well, there's 10 individuals here, so he's going out and beyond. And they're crying out for mercy because undoubtedly that no one else will give them mercy. No one would forgive them. No one will accept them back into society. They're crying out. And I know that throughout the year, you know, we tend to do the same. How many times have we not cried out to the Lord and asked for mercy? Mercy because we know we are unworthy servants. We're unworthy servants. I know plenty of times, me being in this role of a pastor, quote unquote, I felt unworthy of the job. There's so many people I feel that could do a better job than I could. But at the same time, he called me to serve. And so all I ask for the Lord is for mercy. Even in my sin, even in my weaknesses, even in my wrong decisions, I ask for mercy. And all I do is cry out, Lord, all I need is your mercy. Do you know what that does to us? Do you know what the Lord's mercy does to us? Well, it says as they heard the instructions from Jesus, because see, Jesus gives us instructions. God gives us instructions, my friends. He gives us those instructions. And the better you read, or I should say, the better we dive into those instructions, the more secure we feel in his arms. That's all I can say. Because even when things get tougher and tougher and it seems as though you're trying to grab, you know, and just grab whatever you can to just get yourself out of that hole. And trust me, I've been in that hole. We've all been in that hole at one point. I'm in that hole right now. I can't stop thinking about the 380 pages I have to read for school by December 1st and get the report out. That's my hole that I got myself into. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy on me. I need that mercy so bad. I can't breathe. I can't sleep. And so the Lord just says, go. Go and tell the priest. And so I was like, why would they go and tell the priest? Why would Jesus send them to go and go and tell the priest? Well, back then, whenever someone was healed, for whatever reason, they had to go and report to the priest. The priest wanted to know how they got healed, how they, you know, they wanted to know everything. And they were the approval of them being able to go back into society, being able to be back and mingle with the family and be able to share their experience and all that. And so he goes, he says to them, go and tell the priest. And I think he says this in to test their faith, to make sure that their faith, right, it grows and they're able to tell the priest what had happened. Well, previously Jesus had also, a couple chapters back in chapter 5, he also had done the same for another leper. He also requested for him. He actually touched Jesus and Jesus hugged him and everything. He had the full experience. And Jesus says, go and tell the priest or go and tell no one, he said. And then he went and told the whole neighborhood. And unfortunately, Jesus had to run out of there because he was going to be chased by every leper in town and everything. And so he didn't follow instructions. But these guys, they did follow instructions. They actually ran out. And as they ran out to go to Jerusalem into the sanctuary, I can imagine as they was running out, their skin started peeling away, or maybe, I don't know how that whole transformation thing worked, but whatever was happening on the outside, it was because it happened first in the inside. And so I want to tell you something, that when we go through these tough situations in the outside, it looks a certain way and maybe don't look good. I started breaking out. When I get stressed out, I start breaking out. I start being a teenager all over again. Sorry, teenagers, but I know what you go through. I start getting pimples all over, rashes, my body hurts, everything hurts, and I'm just like, and so I could understand the minute that I feel deliberation, the minute that I feel that God has mercy on me, that I feel the transformation because I did the work. I had the faith. I prayed. I trusted in my mind. I said, it is the Lord's will and that shall be done. The minute that that happens, my friends, then things start changing in the inside. Your mindset starts changing. you actually become a positive person. You come from negative to positive. It just starts changing. The minute that you open up scripture and you see how things connect and you relate it to yourself, then you can say, oh, that's what you were trying to do all along. And so they were cleansed. And there was this one guy, he came back and, you know, this Samaritan guy, he came back and he thanked Jesus. Out of all, it seems as though he made a point to point out that he was Samaritan, because I guess the others were not Samaritans. They were probably Jews. And they probably were going to go tell the priest, okay, because they wanted their lives back. At least what they thought was their lives back. Sometimes we've been in church for so long that we just take God's mercy for granted. And we forget to thank all those that pray for us. We forget to thank that it was through that faith of everyone coming together, right? It was through that faith that you had, that hope that you found in Scripture, that hope that someone spoke to you about God's love. We just forget for whatever reason. We take it for granted. We do. I know I do. I know I've taken it for granted a lot of times. And so there's always that one. I remember one time we were having baptism in one of my churches in Jefferson. And it was a beautiful thing. I actually was sitting back and allowing this other pastor that came in, and he had an awesome sermon. I said, you know what, brother, you could go in the water with everybody and just baptize them. I said, I love to watch it. I love to also dip everybody in the water, but I just wanted to watch it, you know. That church hasn't had a baptism in like 7 years or 8 years or something like that. And that little sermon that he did, which was very moving, four people wanted to get baptized. So I said, yeah, let's throw them in the water. Amen. Hallelujah. I was grateful. I was thankful. But I remember in that sermon, during that sermon, this drunk man came through the doors. He was drunk. You know, he had a little limp, and he was just like trying to find his way. And it was probably about the same distance from here to there to the back seat. And I could smell him. I could smell him from all the way up. I was up front. I could smell him from all the way back there. But whoever sat next to him, they were very friendly. Shook his hand and everything. And I was in awe. Okay, I was in awe. There's reasons for that. I was in awe. But anyways, the man stood up when the pastor said, is there anybody else that wants some saving today? And the preacher had actually already gone out, come out, and when he started saying that. And I remember he stood up. He's like, I do. I want saving. He started walking to the front. He just asked a question, but this man just took it upon himself to walk to the front, to come to the pulpit. And he's like, I want to get baptized. And I looked at the man, I looked at the pastor, said, you want to go back in the water? I said, you want to go back in the water with him? And he looked at me like, really, pastor? I was like, hey. And he went in the water with him, and we baptized him. We baptized him. When he came out of that water, I remember when he brought up this man, it was like a different life form. It just changed completely. And he just thanked the Lord. He felt liberated from the alcoholism in his life and everything that he's done in his life that was wrong. He felt like the Lord had mercy on him. And it was really a touching experience for me at that moment. Many people criticized me afterwards. Pastor, how can you let someone come in? And some others, you know, said, Pastor, that's awesome that you did that. And I said, well, you know, at the end of the day, it's not for my glory. The glory belongs to God. That's right. Because he's the only one that could do that transformation in this man's life. And so this particular man went back to Jesus, and he thanked him. And Jesus pointed out that, hey, man, where's everybody else? And so I want to leave today's message with that. We need to understand that at times in our lives, we might have that recollection of something that Jesus did extraordinary in our lives. I don't know what, where and when, what happened in your life, where Jesus made that transformation, but sometimes we need to go back to that first love and remember where he took us out of. Because there are so many souls out there that also need to be back with Jesus, that need to return home. And so it's not easy sometimes even saying thank you, you know, because of our pride. Sometimes, you know, but this is God we're talking about. This is Jesus. Jesus can humble us real quick. For this last thing I want to tell you guys, I had this experience. And this was one of the toughest experiences, but this is how the transformation works. When you start giving thanks to God, okay, that starts to transform your life. And so I had this particular moment when I was going to school over in Tennessee. I had this awesome boss. He was actually my wife's boss. It was for a plumbing company, and I used to work the summers and doing some light plumbing work and doing all the labor that the other guys didn't want to do, like digging ditches and stuff like that. And so I remember this one time, the guys left. I was there early. The guys left, and he told me to stay behind because he knew that I knew how to fix, you know, machines and stuff like that. And he says, hey, man, I need you to fix me this machine, this digging machine that he had or whatever, and I need you to change the blades. And I didn't bring it with me, but I was like, okay. He gave me this tool that was, I guess, a wrench, but it's a plumber's wrench, you know, the big red one that... Okay, some people know what I'm talking about. It was huge. It was a big one. And I'm like, why are you giving me this? He's like, oh, you're going to need it to change, you know, the bolts, you know, and take them out. And I'm like, I don't, you know, like in my mind, I'm like, I don't know how to use this. This is not what I normally use to change, you know, these bolts. You usually use a wrench or something that fits there or whatever. And so there was a way to utilize it to loosen the bolts. And I remember that I started the job, and I was taking my time, you know, because this was the first time I was actually changing these blades on this particular machine. Well, he had a bad day, and he didn't go with the guys. He sent all the guys out, and he stayed with me there, and he was just like, I guess in his mind, highly upset because of what the guys told him and the argument that he had with them. So he comes, and he wants to help me. And normally, I'll be honest with you, I work by myself a lot of times when I do mechanic work, because everybody has their way, their opinion. So I leave people alone sometimes, even when they do mechanic work, because I don't want to, you know, like interfere, right? That's just the way I work when it comes to mechanic. It's where I kind of like my mind goes, and I'm enjoying the moment. Well, he decides to come and help me and tell me what to do after I have the diagram, I have everything. And I'm like, okay, Lord, okay, let's work with this man. So we start working, and for some reason, I didn't know very well how to use this wrench, because there's a certain way where it opens up, and then you're able to turn it, and you got to kind of like maneuver it. And it was just confusing sometimes to me, because sometimes the bolts went, one bolt went one way, and the other bolt went the other way when every single time you were taking out the bolts. They were just, they come off differently, all of them. At that particular moment, this man starts insulting me. Well, you don't know how to change the bolt. You don't know how to use a machine. You call yourself a mechanic. Da 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 da. And he's just going off. And I start praying in my mind, because we're in the middle of this. I mean, on this whole thing, and I have a whole bunch of bolts to come. And I'm like, he's already after me, and he's just like blah 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 blah. And my mind, I'm starting to see him. I don't start seeing him. I start seeing red, right? Like my eyes are getting watery, and I start seeing a different person. As a matter of fact, to me, I started seeing Satan is who I started seeing. I started seeing like my stepdad, who would do the same thing to me. He'll go tell me to do something, and then he'll be behind me saying, you're not doing it right, da, 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 or just calling me all these names. And that's what this man started doing, this Christian man started doing, just belittling me. And he was just upset. The reality was that he was just upset because of the truth that his employees told him that day. In a mean way, but they told him the truth. So he was trying to take that out on me. And so at that particular moment, I had two options. I could just be like, listen, you either do the job yourself and I leave, or, you know, we finish this and you stop. But in my mind, I didn't know how to speak because I was just highly upset. My emotions were getting to me. And I didn't know what to do at that point because what I really wanted to do was to take the and I'm sorry to say it this way, but I wanted to take the tool and just hit him over the head with it. Just once, you know, just to see if he had a reaction, you know, and stop. Now, I'm not a violent person, but that's what was going on in my mind. And I know, I'm pretty sure we've all been there where we start thinking bad thoughts. At that particular moment, I said, Lord, help me, please. And for some reason, all the other bolts were just became loose all of a sudden. Like, as I started going and we just got it done fast, boom, put the whole thing in. And I didn't say anything to him. I put the tool down and I went and I started washing my hands. And as I'm washing my hands, the Holy Spirit starts to speak to my heart. Because I'm so mad. I'm done with him. I'm like, I'm done with this guy. I'm done. There's no way you're going to treat me like that. And I'm just thinking about how I can tell him off in a nice way because my wife still works for him. So I'm like, but this is how the Spirit worked, guys, because this was not me. Me, I still wanted to hit him over the head with, you know, the wrench. And so he comes over next to me and starts washing his hands as well. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says to me, tell him that you appreciate him. Thank him for him giving you work. I'm like, oh, no, Holy Spirit. That is not happening. That is not happening. Tell him that you appreciate him. Thank him for the work. Tell him that you love him. And I was like, Holy Spirit, this is not right. This is, why are you doing this to me? So at that particular moment, I seized the moment right before we were finishing. I said to him, brother, I want to tell you that I really appreciate everything that, you know, you've done for us and my family. And thank you so much. And I love you, man. And this man's eyes started tearing up. This is a German hardcore, you know, and he's just like, he looks at me and he just starts to tear up. He doesn't cry, but he does tear up. I saw him. He teared up. And he goes, I know. And his eyes read to me, his eyes clearly read to me that he knows what he did. He knew what he did there at that particular moment. He just lashed it out all on me. And lucky for him, and I say lucky or fortunate for him, at that particular moment, I didn't let the enemy take over me, but I let the Christ centeredness. I may have had the thoughts, but my actions didn't speak for that. I allowed the Holy Spirit to take over. And I want to say that is the transformation that Jesus is really looking for to each and one of us. We all have a reason to be thankful for. Even in those tough moments, we need to shout out and say, thank you, Lord, like this man did. Thank you, Lord. You know, I never understood why the Lord at that moment made me go through that. But I realized that if I can go through that with that particular individual, who I love dearly, by the way, we're still friends and I love him a whole bunch. Unfortunately, he just got COVID this Thanksgiving and I'm praying for him. But everything, you know, from that point on, it was so much easier that even when people come to me and belittle me or treat me a certain way, and I'm not saying that we should be bullied all the time or anything like that. What I'm saying is we can put the armor of God, the armor of Christ. We can put some Jesus oil, as we like to call it, brush it off our shoulders. Why? Because the transformation that this gives us, the Word of God gives us, the transformation of having the Holy Spirit with us, my friends, is the only way that we can truly, truly show God's love in this world. In a world where there's confusion, in a world where there's disparity, in a world where there's no hope at all. There's no hope. But Jesus is the only hope. And so in this thanks, the essence of Thanksgiving, I give thanks because if it wasn't, can you imagine if I would have acted upon my emotions? I would not be here today. I'd probably be still locked up, okay? or something to that effect. I, you know, would have been in the news from Collegedale. Man went out and, you know, worker beat up his boss, you know. And so I'm like, wow, Lord, you are so awesome. Because you allow us to go even through our pain and in our misery sometimes. If we, a little thanks goes, I wanted to put, not far away, but what I wanted to put was a long way. A little thanks goes a long way. And what it does is it transforms us from the inside out. And so I hope that we can continue that as we continue to minister to and serve our community as we have so many things that are coming up this year. Let us give God thanks for the things that he's done in the past, in the present, and what he's also going to do for us in the future, which we also know as well. Amen? Amen? All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you once more because we can't thank you enough. Nothing that we do is good enough, Father, to thank you for all the wonderful things that you do for us day in and day out. Thank you for the moments that it seems that they're so hard on us. It seems so impossible to deal with. Almost it seems as though we could just give up, but you allow us to shout, you allow us to be upset, you allow us to be all this, but even with all that, you allow us to come to your throne as we are and surrender our hearts to you. We thank you because you take it all, the good and the bad, and you transform us into your image. Father, I pray that each person here, as we have studied this word, as we have understood, Father, that we have to give thanks because that is what brings us closer and closer to you. And in doing so, we can also show thankfulness to others around us. In showing thankfulness, Father, we show your love. We appreciate all that you do for us. Thank you for this this year, even with the COVID and all the craziness and all the things that have been happening around the world. We thank you because we're alive today and we're here to worship you freely still. We love you, Father. We can't wait to see you face to face, but prepare us, which that means that you have to prepare us inside out. So we love you and we thank you and we ask for this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please stand so we can sing our last hymn. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time we can spend with you here today. And like the lepers, we all need to be cleansed. And Lord, please cleanse us today in your spirit, in your love. And please help us not to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.